Like that first breath of springtime.
Kind of smell.
Without the mask on.
I don't know, soap.
Joe Thomas in the morning on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
B.
I mean, I've been called a horse's ass before, but Food and Drug Administration, end of last week, on a Friday, so that a few people would hear about it, settled a case filed in federal court that ruled that the FDA violated its authority as a federal health agency by telling the public to stop taking ivermectin. The collective coverage of this story in a montage that we put together here, because obviously this weekend was just dominated by and I know it sounds, so what? We all knew that they were full of crap. So when they start admitting it, so this is a statement from the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, who, by the way, will be on the program after the 8 o'clock news and the personage of a man who you think you got it bad. So this was in the 2020s. Or in the aughts, if you will, was vetted and feted by USA Today as one of the preeminent emergency care physicians, with apologies to Jeremy Clarkson, in the world. To fall from grace, because as one of the preeminent emergency physicians in the world, when he started to see emergency cases of people coming in with this strange ailment that kept oxygen from transferring from the lung to the blood, ostensibly suffocating a patient from the inside out, he said, we need to do something about this. And he went into his pharmacopoeic stores and found a medication that had not only been proven safe and effective, but had actually won the physician that had come up with its application a Nobel Prize for Medicine. Started applying it to his patients here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Oh my gosh, practicing medical freedom in Virginia? Has he gotten permission from all the other physicians in his area to do that? That's a certificate of public need crack that I just made. So Dr. Paul Marek started injecting his COVID patients in his emergency room with ivermectin, and they got better, at least stabilized, and then started to get better. And then he was fired. Well, all right, there was a couple of points in between where Santara Healthcare, yeah, another one of these people is never going to advertise on WCHV. Santara Healthcare said to him, we are a big corporation, Dr. Marek. Who do you think you are? He said, I'm a doctor and I'm considered one of the best in the world. And they said, don't do that. He said, why? It's a readily available because the FDA says, stop it. And he said, but why? He said, because the FDA said, stop it. But they're dying. FDA says, stop it. This went back and forth between Santara's management and Dr. Paul Marek for some time, until they finally not only fired him, but had his license suspended. So he couldn't practice medicine anymore. took away his livelihood. The work product of his entire life. Everything happened to Dr. Barrick save President Biden coming along and telling him to go learn to code. That was only for the miners and the oil pipeline guys that he put out of work. Learn to code. Marek said in a statement, "We're extremely pleased with the outcome of this settlement as a victory for every doctor and patient in the United States." Notice he's avoiding the "where do I go to get the last 5 years back?" Where do the families go? The FDA interfered in the practice of medicine, Dr. Marek said in a statement. And again, he'll be on the show to talk to us about it. It's only with their irresponsible language and posts about ivermectin. We will never know how many lives were affected because patients were denied access to a life-saving treatment because their doctor was following the FDA. And he's being kind and gentle in his statement. The employers of said doctors, like Sentara Healthcare, we're doing it because the government agency said so, and that their position as a healthcare corporation would be in peril if you violated the government's orders. And it isn't the end. It might not even be the end of the beginning, but we're getting close to at least holding some people responsible. And I know, I've talked to plenty of people behind the scenes in the COVID situation that say, Joe, you will know what happened to John Fitzgerald Kennedy before you know what happened in COVID, because it will cost so much money. I actually had one person who got in my face at CPAC poking me. I was talking with Dr. Malone, and then this guy comes up and just gets his corpulent effing finger in my, just like Cabell Lawton did. Cabell Lawton, the old county administrator in Fluvanna County, said, poking me in my chest with the finger. It was like out of the movie The Sunshine Boys. Always with the finger. Poking me with his corpulent little finger, saying that I had some nerve calling myself a conservative because if I keep pushing the narrative that the government lied to us, it will cost us a fortune. Started prattling on about Agent Orange and burn pits and the 9/11 Victims Fund. And I'm like, yeah, guess what? When you screw up and you cause people to die, you need to be held accountable to the families of those people. Unfortunately, with our government, what we're not doing is learning from those instances because we keep doing it.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
What are you?
Really?
I'm Batman.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city.
How many of your family members still to this day, when you bring up ivermectin, say, you mean the horse dewormer? No. The human application of it that won the doctor that innovated it, discovered it, synthesized it, won him a Nobel Prize for Science. That one. Ah, it's a horse dewormer. Rachel Madcow told me it was a horse dewormer. Doctors using readily available medicine to treat sick people were punished. And people say, well, how do you know we're an authoritarian state? Because doctors using readily available medicine and their skills as one of the preeminent emergency medical practitioners in the world, we're using it to help people not have a negative outcome when contracting SARS-CoV-2. Why? why, you would say, would the government be against such a behavior? I think you and I have plenty of thoughts on this. The creation of bioweapons being one of the questions. And these are not, as I argued with Dee Snider, the notable, you know, medical expert, Dee Snider, who said, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Well, yes, you can. As a matter of fact, if the crowded theater is full of fire, perhaps because some terrorists have locked the doors and set it on fire, just saying. And I'm going to get emails now about that story.
That didn't happen. It was Ukraine.
Whatever. But it was a theater full of people whose doors were locked and set on fire so they could shoot the people coming out. Perhaps yelling fire in a burning theater is okay. And certainly, to torture the metaphor just a little bit further, we weren't yelling fire. We were just saying, anyone smell smoke? And the questions that in many circles remain unanswered because their ignorance over the connection to the U.S. government and the Wuhan Institute of Virology that have had Rand Paul called nuttier than his dad over the interrogation. Oh, he just hates Tony Fauci. I will guarantee you, before 2019, Rand Paul had no idea who Anthony Fauci was. He's the head of infectious diseases for who? A reminder that the green agenda is a depopulation agenda. Why should other agendas in our government not be depopulation agendas? Why would a government that used to have strict government controls on how many children you were allowed to have, leading to one of the most enormous increases in human trafficking outside of Sean Combs's house? Sorry, too soon? Allegedly. One of the largest instances of human trafficking not going to Epstein Island. Don't tell me that's too soon. By the Chinese Communist Party selling black market babies because the families wanted boy child and they had a girl. And rather than seeing it as a blessing, they saw it as a curse that they needed to sell on the internet. That country, that cesspool of human rights violations, whose filth in their societal soul is only matched by the filth in the air over their country as they manufacture all of our electric car batteries for us, and we paid them to make a bioweapon, allegedly. Because it sure behaved like a bioweapon. Why else would the president be telling us we need to treat this like an act of, we need to be a soldier up to battle this invading virus? Imagine you were being sent off to Guadalcanal or D-Day, Omaha Beach. And you were told, okay, guys, we're in our boats now. We're sailing up to Omaha Beach, and you all have to go battle the German Huns on the beach, boys. But I'm taking all the guns away from you. What? Yeah, I can't use those guns. They haven't been approved by the Federal Department of Ammunition. These guns were made for hunting deer. So you can't use them for shooting Germans who have invaded France. You can't use them to win the beach over there in the Pacific. because these guns were made. The guy was on Capitol Hill saying that these are hunting rifles, and therefore you can't use them to shoot at Germans. That's the scenario, because we were told to battle COVID-19, and it was the great battle of our day. But it's not a bioweapon or anything. And by the way, we're taking away all the rifles, too.
Being tuned in means Joe Thomas now. Lars Larson at 6. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
WCHV time 8:07, and without further ado, I want to welcome a fellow who's been fighting a battle that we've been chronicling several different instances where people have lost their livelihoods because of this, and the intent is always to tell you, well, don't you go lose your livelihood as well. But a man who was at the peak and the pinnacle of his life, and then saw it all taken away by cancel culture that went after doctors for treating sick people with readily available medicines to make them well again. He is Dr. Paul Marek, one of the co-founders of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. Dr. Marek, first and foremost, thank you for being an example to all of us who face this unruly and anonymous mob of people who will go after you if you don't go along with the dogma of the political correct and the government academic establishment. How are you doing this morning as you kind of bask in the glow of a settlement with the FDA? How are you doing, sir?
Good, yourself, and it's good to be on your show, and thank you for all you do.
Well, you know, I feel gratified that it's happened, but since we have this montage here of the mainstream media coverage of the of this admission by the FDA that they should not have been telling people in various degrees to not use ivermectin to treat COVID-19, all the way down to lampooning, lambasting, and chasing people off of social media under the banner of trying to prescribe horse medication to patients. As the congressional testimony once said back in the 80s, where do I go to get my good name back, Congressman? That's got to be my feeling for a lot of folks in this case.
Yeah, so I think it is vindication, because obviously the FDA lied, and this was an orchestrated and well-planned-out lie, and they got caught in their lie. So, you know, this is one win for us. You know, it's just the beginning. You know, they went on a campaign to discredit ivermectin, and, you know, ivermectin is one of the safest medications on this planet. It's not a toxic horse dewormer. It's been given to millions of patients across the planet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, apart from being effective for parasitic diseases, it's very effective when given for COVID. Yep. It has activity against RNA viruses. So they went out of their way to discredit a very effective and safe medication, because it was a threat to their agenda, and their agenda was a shot in every arm.
Is that the next step? Is cornering them on what that agenda is? Because certainly making money for these pharmaceutical giants. And we have, I think the Blaze Media has the patent documents that say at least, I think the Pfizer shot, one of the shots, the U.S. government actually gets half the profits from for each one sold. Now, it's kind of like money laundering, because as I understand it, we're paying for most of them to be purchased anyway. But it's to me, is it trying to figure out whether it's just profit? Was there an agenda of depopulation? Was it part and parcel of, you know, targeting old and infirmed people, the way a society that's facing a hefty medical bill, if they were to pick up socialized medicine, we're facing? I mean, is that the next step, Dr. Marek, is to find out, okay, we know what, now let's figure out why?
Yeah, so that's the more difficult question, you know, why they did this and who's responsible. And it's likely all the reasons you give apply. You know, obviously, it's a very sinister agenda that they have. And it's not just, you know, one single entity. I think it's a consortium of people all working together to achieve this very evil agenda, which, you know, which includes controlling the population, depopulation, taking away people's rights. So they seem to be all interconnected. This, I think, is an important win because it is really the first ruling against them.
Right.
And so, you know, they are on notice, but it's, you know, this is David taking on Goliath, and they have enormous sure. power, enormous influence. And so hopefully this is the beginning, but it's going to be very complicated. And there's no question that the intentions are really sinister. The healthcare agency's agenda is not to improve the health of Americans.
Yeah, that's become apparent in this, and that's the danger. And hopefully, the happy ending in this is that we this crucible will heal the patient. This infection that our body politic has right now, we have to come up with the metaphorical cure for that as well. Is the financial worry, and I've had several people say, Joe, you'll no more know what happened with COVID-19 and all the various things that came after it. Then you will know what happened to Jack Kennedy, mostly because of things like the Monsanto ruling about Agent Orange and the September 11th Victims Fund, that the U.S. government has got its hands so far in the cookie jar in the development of this virus, whether done intentionally or absent-mindedly, their complicity will cost the taxpayers of the United States money we don't have. Is that part of why it's going to be so hard to prove what happened next?
Oh, absolutely. You're correct. I mean, the federal government and the federal agencies, the Department of Defense, the CIA, are so deeply involved in this scandal that it will be very difficult to actually get to the truth and what's behind this. We know the NIH, without any question of doubt, were sponsoring and supporting gain-of-function research.
Mm-hmm.
We know without question of doubt this virus came from the Wuhan lab, so which was being supported by the NIH. So the federal government was implicit in the development and pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, and their gain-of-function research continues to this day. So they are so deeply involved that it's going to be very difficult to really get to, you know, the source of this.
Well, Dr. Paul Marek is on with us from the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, COVID-19CriticalCare.com. Go to their website, please, because this isn't just a bunch of people who are mad or protesting. These doctors have put together protocols, medical protocols for anyone, no matter where you are in the universe of SARS-CoV-2. Dr. Marek, can I hang on to you for a moment? I've got to take a break here real quick.
Sure.
And please visit that website.
Need to know what game is on tonight?
A shot, he scores!
Pitch, swing, and a line drive deep down.
Check out the full Seville sports schedule online at WCHV.com.
We're joined by Dr. Paul Marek, who, with apologies to British TV presenter Jeremy Clarkson, was once considered one of the greatest emergency physicians in the world. And then he started treating sick people that were showing up at his emergency room here in Virginia with ivermectin because it was helping make them well again. Gee, that's kind of what a doctor is supposed to do. And he was sanctioned and eventually not only lost his job, but lost his license to even practice medicine in the Commonwealth of Virginia under these jackboots. Doctor, am I overstating that the state had become so hell-bent on stopping anyone questioning the federal government's bureaucratized response to COVID-19, that people like you who were preeminent in their field were out on the street ostensibly.
Yes. Yeah, so what we know, and we have direct documentation, is that the FDA sent correspondence to the Federation of State Medical Boards, and the State Medical Boards controls all the boards, the medical boards in this country, and consequently, they took action against physicians who were prescribing ivermectin. And so consequently, many physicians lost their license because they dared to prescribe ivermectin. And, you know, let's be clear, this is an FDA-approved drug mm-hmm. that's being used legally off-label.
It became
inconvenient for the federal government because ivermectin was a severe threat to their, their program.
But, I mean, this was a medication. I remember when my son came up to me and said, are you one of those crazy ivermectin horse dewormer zealots? I said, you mean the medicine that... And he is educated. He grew up in my home, college. He had fallen into this narrative that it was horse dewormer, and we were, sneaking into the veterinarian's office to get this. And I sent him the article from the Nobel Society that lauded the scientists that created the human application of ivermectin with the Nobel Prize for Medicine. And he responded and said, holy cow. And I mean, maybe that was the beginning of his enlightenment when he started to go, oh my gosh. It wasn't even just, it was, a dodgy little bait and switch. I mean, this was egregious what they were trying to do with ivermectin, Dr. Marek, and maybe blessedly, it snapped back on them.
Yeah, so this was a coordinated approach, and most of the public and most physicians think that ivermectin is a toxic horse deworming medication. So they were very successful in this propaganda a campaign. I mean, in fact, they were promoting misinformation, and they've accused us of being misinformationists, but the reality is they were promoting misinformation because this is, certainly it's a very safe medication you use mm-hmm. in humans.
So, and I'm bringing this up for a point, and of course, if you're missing why Dr. Marek is on with us, aside from the fact that I could have him on every day if his schedule permitted, to talk about treatments for this disease that will define this generation, and COVID-19 critical care .com is where you go and look up all the different protocols, whether you're afraid of, whether you have, whether you've taken the clot shot, whatever it may be, but you want a ruling, a settlement on Friday with the Food and Drug Administration, and I don't know about all the details of the settlement, but moving forward, we're watching the federal government look at joining the World Health Organization, where for whatever they determine to be a public health emergency, they can enact all the same things that wound up tossing you out on the street for anything else. Once the World Health Organization determines that it's a public health emergency, I think that's an important thing going forward from this, isn't it, Dr. Marek?
Yeah, it's a very scary thing that the WHO is going to dictate, what's a health emergency across the world, and that nations are going to basically lose their own identity and mm-hmm. right to self-determination. So this appears to be part of a greater agenda where these forces are controlling how healthcare is managed across the globe.
I got to meet some of the folks from Australia up in Washington, D.C. last month, Dr. Marek, and this group said that Australia is so embarrassed by their response to COVID-19 that they've almost gone the other. I mean, this was a country that actually set up basically either, if you want to call them concentration camps, I call them leper colonies, to take you out of public policy and put you there if you wouldn't take the shots and wouldn't do the things the national health. They seem to have come the other direction. Is the world waking up to this authoritarianism, or is it just little drops in the bucket?
Yeah, I think it's very slow and it's very sporadic. You know, the statistics are quite striking. You know, the U.S. makes up 4% of the world population, yet we contributed about 16% of the COVID deaths. So that the mortality in this country, although we have the best healthcare system in the world, was four times that of the rest of the world. And you can see the same thing if you compare Israel versus Nigeria, which was severely under-vaccinated. The rate of death in Nigeria was, you know, a quarter of that of Israel, which is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. So, you know, this has become a global problem, but it's become clear that all their strategies were based on a lie. You know, the 6-foot rule, the social isolation, locking people up, and the vaccine. The entire program was based on fraud. Now, you know, there are some people that are waking up to this, but generally most of the population are still completely blind to what's happened.
Well, and you look at the campaign, I know that you and Dr. Corey and several other folks have been at some events with presidential candidate Kennedy, and I see, you know, the same things marshaling against his campaign because of his stand on vaccines. Yet he served in President Trump's administration even before COVID-19 came about in regards to vaccinations and what is going into our kids' arms and things like that, which shouldn't be an unreasonable question, should it, Dr. Marek?
Absolutely not. I think, you know, informed consent is such a basic concept in healthcare. So, you know, parents should know exactly what they're vaccinating their children with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is, it's such a basic principle in healthcare. And we should have freedom of choice, and patients should have an open dialogue with their physicians.
And
you
privacy.
Should be honest.
And privacy with their doctors as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we need to establish a true patient-physician relationship. We need to restore true informed consent into the healthcare system.
Absolutely. Dr. Marek, real quick, as we run up on our 8:30 news, I have to let you go. What's coming next for the frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance?
Yeah, so that is a good question. No, we continue to do what we do. Our recent focus has a turn towards cancer, and you may or may not know that there's a very strong association with vaccination and the development of cancer.
Oh dear.
So this is going to become a major healthcare issue, and obviously, you know, it's in the news recently. Kate Middleton was right. diagnosed with cancer. The likelihood is that she was highly vaccinated, so this is going to become a major healthcare issue. So, you know, we are looking at solutions to deal with and to prevent cancer, which will become the major cause of death in Western people.
I appreciate everything you do, Dr. Marek, and especially your time for us at COVID-19criticalcare.com. You have a blessed morning, sir, and thank you and congratulations.
Thank you, and thanks for having this conversation with me.
March Madness all day.
I think Charlottesville is under attack.
And some basketball games, too. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.